You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you, so stop by my website, take advantage of the resources there, and find that email link and send me an email. Let me know what you think. Just say hello. We're listening. We like what we hear. Say we don't like what we hear. Just anything would be welcome, especially if you have insight you would like to share. And while we're doing this study live, I can comment on that if it's appropriate with the study. So go ahead, crosstheborder.org. Okay, when we left off, we were talking about Joseph. Joseph, being a just man, not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privily. And in verse 20 of chapter 1 of the book or the Gospel of Matthew, he said, but while he thought on these things. So Joseph was a thinking man. Joseph was a man who did not react, and he didn't do anything lightly. He did everything purposefully. He was a righteous man. That's what it says. He was a just man. Well, you know what? Joseph, I guess I could say that if anyone was going to be a hero of mine, why not this Joseph? He was a just man. He was a thinking man. He was merciful, he was kind, and he was loving. He was a good man, no doubt about it. And he thought on these things. The angel came to him. And it says here, an angel of the Lord. And of course, everywhere I see the Lord in the scripture, my brain puts in there Yahuwah, the name of our creator. So an angel of Yahuwah appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Well, he must have had, that must have been quite a dream. And the angel continues, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's what the King James Version says in big old capital letters. But if we mouse over it, we know that the angel didn't speak to Joseph in Greek. And he certainly didn't tell him to name him Jesus. Because I know what happens to the firstborn son. That firstborn son, by a just man who lived according to the law, a righteous man who wanted to please Yahuwah, our Heavenly Father, in everything he did. That's the character of the man we're talking about here. He would never have walked into the temple to dedicate his son, because the firstborn are mine, remember? That was the declaration. All of the firstborn were to be brought to the temple. And he would have never brought him in there, and the priest to dedicate him to Yahuwah as a firstborn, and would have never proclaimed that his name was Jesus. Because I'll tell you, some heads would have turned, and they probably would have run him out of the temple for bringing in the name of a pagan god, because they were not allowed to utter the names of a pagan god on their lips. And this Greek, Jesus, Jesus, Horus, or however they would have said this Jesus name, would never have been uttered in the temple. So we know what he said. His name is Yahushua, which is the name of our creator, with the suffix, and that is added to the end of it, salvation, to say that our creator, the name of our creator, is our salvation. And so, and you shall call his name Yahushua, for he shall save his people from their sins. And there it is. There's the name. Of course, I'm reading here in the King James Version, and it says Jesus, but if we translate it properly, and see, this is something that you can learn to do through practice. When you see the Lord, Yahuwah, the name of the Lord, you automatically go in your mind, you see the name, the Lord. Throughout the whole Old Testament, it's the 3068, it's the Tetragrammaton, which is the name of our Creator. Every time it says the Lord in the Old Testament, that's what it is. It's Yahuwah. And so when you see Jesus, or you see the Lord, you know that even in the New Testament, the Lord is Yahuwah. Because it's an angel of the Lord appeared, so the angels all belong to our Heavenly Father, so it's an angel of Him. And you can say, there's nothing wrong with saying the Lord, but to read with understanding, as I said before, understanding the name, the correct pronunciation phonetically of the name, and the translation, what the name means. These are things that have some importance because they are in the Textus Receptus. You know, they are in the received text, at least in the Hebrew. And, of course, they're not in the Greek received text. You would have Jesus, which is a name for a god. And it was the best way to translate it. It must have been a common name for a generic god. And that would be how it would be translated. Of course, it would be the god. And I also have not so much of a beef, but I differ with some that are teaching the name. Some people I even have a lot of respect for because of the amount of the things that I've learned from them. And I could mention my brother Troy Miller, who is on the same network I am, and he teaches on the name and he teaches on the calendar, and I've learned so much from the brother, and some things I differ with him on and some things I'm still learning about and researching into. But I agree with him on the pronunciation of the name, although I'm not sure that he has really settled on the phonetic pronunciation of the name. But I don't agree with him where he says the word God, he won't utter the word God on his lips, or he repents every time he feels he has a call to do it. Because in English, though the word God may have morphed out of or come from the name of a pagan deity in another language in another time, because some people say it was from Gud, who is a pagan deity, and that's where they've got the word God. But I know the word God for me is a generic term, which just means God. Also could be judge. And if I were to have an equivalent in the Hebrew, well, I would use the word Elohim, because Elohim can be the word God, or it can also be a judge or a ruler, someone who makes law, a lawgiver, a judge, someone who judges the law. Could also be Elohim. And when Yahshua, Jesus said, you know, are you not gods? Does your word not say that you are gods? Well, I think he was saying the word Elohim. He wasn't saying that they were almighty gods or that they were some kind of, offspring of aliens or something. That's where a lot of people go with that phrase. No, he was just saying the word says that you are Elohim, that you are judges of the law, that you are gods, you are Elohim. And that's all he was saying by that phrase, and we'll get to that, and we'll discuss that a little bit more when we get to it. I'm just jumping ahead here. But when I get to this in the King James Version, and it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we're given the name Jesus, but when the angel spoke to Joseph, Joseph understood what he was hearing. He was hearing the name of the Creator with the suffix salvation and the explanation, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's the save his people, that's the salvation part of his name, and then his people. Whose people? The Creator's people. So we have the name of the Creator and we have the suffix salvation. And that's his name. He's given the name. He's given the reason that he was given the name of our Creator is our salvation right there in the proclamation that the angel is giving to him. So if we read this from understanding, we would read it and it would say, she shall bring forth a son and thou shalt call his name, phonetically in the Hebrew, Yahushua, for he, that is, Yahuwah, shall save his people from their sins. Yahuwah is our salvation. That's his name. That's the meaning of his name. Our Creator, by name, is our salvation. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful name. That's why it is the name above all names. Because he has the name of the Creator, and our Creator is our salvation. Because he provided himself a sacrifice. He prepared a body for him to dwell among men and make that ultimate sacrifice in person for us. That's a mystery. And we who have the Spirit, his Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we understand that mystery. For those that are outside that don't have his Holy Spirit, it's all a lot of foolishness, and it seems like a huge contradiction, but it's a beautiful thing for those of us that have understanding. And I pray, you know, if you don't have understanding, if this doesn't make sense to you, I pray that our Heavenly Father will open your eyes and open your ears that you can receive his Holy Spirit and you can hear his word and it can become part of who you are. And that I also pray that you're willing to give up whatever thing in your life that is keeping you from receiving what our Heavenly Father has from you. Because it's sin. Sin keeps us from the things that God has for us. If we're not willing to let go of the things that displease him, then we will never get near him. Because we have to be washed, and we have to be washed in the blood of Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah, to come to be able to enter into the throne room, to be able to enter in to where our Father is, so that we can call him our Father, Daddy, Abba, Father. Chapter 1, verse 22. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. So which was spoken of who? Yahuwah, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. It says in the King James Version, the Lord. So my brain automatically thinks of his name, the Creator. By the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which it being interpreted is God with us. And it says here, and I want to look that up, of Hebrew origin is the H6005. I've never looked that up before, so I'm going to look it up now. Let's see, H6005, and it says there, Im-on-u-el, with the suffix pronoun inserted, is God, Emmanuel, a name of Isaiah's son, Emmanuel. So it's not Greek, is it? But is the El referring to Elohim, which actually means God with us. Okay, so that is a name given to him, but his name was Yahshua, which is our Creator's, our salvation. Another name is, he is Elohim, with us, God with us. So, of course, he is the Almighty God with us. And that would be different than the other when Yahshua, Jesus said, does not the law say that you are gods? There would be a great distinction between this man being called Elohim with us, or El with us, and those men being called Elohim as judges or lawmakers or discerners of the law. Okay, let's move on. And I like that. Here's one place where they give us the interpretation, which being interpreted is God with us. So I'm glad they added that interpretation there. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, so he went into some kind of trance or something, like a dreamlike state, and he was raised from his sleep. He did as the angel of Yahuwah had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And what does that mean? He took unto him his wife. Well, that means, of course, he did not come together with her until after she bore our Messiah, but he did come. They did come together, and they had other children. There's this perpetual virgin stuff. Well, that's totally Catholic, which comes out of pagan idolatry. And got bad news for you. If you're a Catholic, a Catholic church is not really a Christian church. It wears the garb, a thin veil of Christianity, but it is so steeped in pagan idolatry that I would say, as the scripture says, come out of her, my people. If you belong to him, if you have a heart after the Heavenly Father, well, go to your Catholic church for as long as you feel like you need to, but get out your Bible, get out your King James Bible, get your e-sword, look at the original language, like I'm doing here, or start listening to my studies and check out everything I'm saying, make sure it's true, but learn the Word of God for yourself, and he'll pull you out when it's time. That's my advice and my prayer for you, that you will come out. If you're in the Catholic Church, that you will come out of that. but do it with knowledge. Don't do it because I say it. But like I say, get out your Bible, pull up your eSword, go to e-sword.net on the scripture, pull down the Bible program, and you'll have it. You'll have the King James Version, and you'll have the Greek and Hebrew concordance, and just dive right in. Start reading, start mousing over those Hebrew words, and you will learn how to use the program. It's not that difficult. And ask the Heavenly Father to open up your eyes, open up your mind, and impart His Holy Spirit to you. And, wow, what a change your life will take from that moment forward if you're really after, if you really have a heart after our Heavenly Father, like David. You know, David, the King David was not a Catholic, and but he was a very fallible man, much like us. And I'll tell you, David made some horrendous errors, errors I hope I never make, which by the grace of God, I never will. But even with all the errors that he paid in the flesh, he paid for his errors. He suffered terrible consequences in his family. And it was an awful thing because of the murder that he committed. And it was a terrible murder. And and the adultery, though he was forgiven, he was still called a man after Yahuwah, God's own heart. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And so there's the indication. He knew her not until, but he did know her. Okay, they did come together as husband and wife. The marriage night, there was a consummated marriage night, even though it was delayed somewhat. You know, the first night, which is usually happens right after the wedding feast. Traditionally, you have the first night. Well, his first night with his wife was delayed until after she had brought forth her firstborn son. And of course, according to the law, whatever amount of time he had to wait according to the law to come together with his wife. And it says here in the King James Version, and he called his name Jesus, it says in the King James Version, but we know that he really called him Yahushua, which means our Creator by name is our salvation. Thus ends chapter 1 of the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are coming to worship him. So, you know, there was really a worldwide phenomena apparently going on of people, because there were, as we went through the scripture in the Old Testament, we found that there were righteous men who had their own, built their own family nations. And so there perhaps were righteous men throughout the earth. Obviously, more than perhaps, we could say yes, there were righteous men, even in the Far East, who were looking forward to the Messiah. And of course, the land there of Judea, or Yahuda, was stirring with this buzz, much like is stirring in the corporate mainstream church today among the futurists. You know, the same kind of buzz, if I could say. You know, there's a buzz going on, and they've been writing books, and especially since Israel, the Israel nation over there in Palestine now became a nation in 1948 in the Balfour Declaration, and it goes back on, and they keep getting starting dates, and they add 40 years. Well, that didn't work, so now they're going to add 70 years for the 70 weeks, and we know that's all wrong, because 40 years is a generation, and all that time has gone by, so now some people are waiting for 70 years to pass because of the 70 weeks prophecy, which we know is it's not right either. It's not going to be 70 years, because those 70 weeks are 70 weeks of years, because so 70 times 7 is 49, so that's totally wrong. But there was this buzz going around the land in that day, because they knew the 490 years. They knew the 70th week. They knew they were in it, because 69 weeks had passed. You know, of course, where 69 weeks had passed when the Messiah showed up. But they were looking. They were looking forward to the time. And some of them deduced, they counted backwards, and they knew that the Messiah was going to be born, you know, sometime soon. And so they were looking for his star in the east. And, you know, I don't know about the astrological and all that stuff, but obviously they saw the star, they rejoiced and were exceeding glad. And the king heard, because there was this buzz going on in the land. And these wise men said, we've seen the star. They saw the star in the east. And it says that it went before them, so they were following the star until it came and stood where the young child was. So this buzz is going on in the land. Herod is king. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. Okay. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently. Now this is Herod. When he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Okay. So now he's going, what time did the star appear? So now they're going to say, well, the star appeared several years ago because it took them a long time to travel from the east where they were. And that's why Herod was going to have every child from 2 years up to 2 years slaughtered, because he saw this child king as a threat, because he was the king and he didn't want anyone to threaten his position. And of course we know that this was Satan working through this man, trying to destroy the promised seed of the Messiah, this seed that had been promised to Adam and Eve. The time had finally come, and the prophets foretold the lineage was followed, was kept carefully. We have these lineages in the scripture, and Israel was still a nation for this one purpose. Israel's time, Israel's 70 weeks, was almost up. And the Messiah was coming because the 70th week was near. So he inquires privately, he calls these men to him, he says, when did the star appear? Because, you know, they're excited. They're sharing their excitement with Herod the king. The buzz is in the land. And I guess we're going to have to pick up here next time and cross the border. Exciting times in the land of Israel. The land is filled with this buzz of the prophecy. People are looking forward to the Messiah coming. These men come all the way from the east. They travel several years following the star, looking for the Redeemer of mankind. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and I'll see you next time.